Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to our choir students upstairs. Thank you for being here and contributing to our service this morning. Maybe you can help me out with this first phrase. I need you guys. I don't know if you know this, and everyone else, you can help out with this too. Just finish this phrase. When the going gets tough, but is that what Scripture says? I'm not so sure. Consider our text for today. Saint Stephen is dead. The church is under attack. Suffering and persecution are underway. When the going got tough, things went downhill pretty quickly, and Stephen was killed. Hear again these depressing words from the beginning of Acts 8. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church. And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. What a buzzkill. I mean, up until this point, the church was growing and enjoying great success and acceptance. But now, all of a sudden, I don't know what could be worse. Well, actually, I just read a Calvin and Hobbes comic the other day that's pretty close. Well, at least Calvin would think it's pretty close. You see, Calvin and his family had been on vacation. They got home, and they realized that their house had been broken into and burglarized. No one slept well that night, as you can, you know, full well understand. But the worst surprise was yet to come for Calvin the next day. So he was sitting at dinner, and he said, "Mom, can I be excused?" And Mom noticed that he hadn't really eaten anything and pointed that out. And he said, "Yeah, I really don't like it anyway, and I want to go watch a TV show that's on tonight." Mom just very simply said, "Well, Calvin, the TV was stolen." And then you could see only what a cartoonist can depict. Calvin just dies. You can see it in his face. One eye is dilated and the other one is bulging. That huge smile that Calvin usually has that makes everyone else smile just dies with him. It's replaced by this frown that's twice as wide, just parked there under his sniveling nose and his aching eyes. He is in a moment of suffering and crisis. He has suffered an emotional aneurysm. Now, usually, Calvin is very philosophical and very reflective, particularly when everything is going fine. You know, you've seen these scenes probably. He's riding down a hill on a sled or on a wagon, and it's flying at light speed, and Calvin or Hobbes is sitting behind him holding on for dear life, and Calvin is reflecting. Usually, at times like this, he's spewing out some sort of social commentary filled with pithy sayings like what you might hear from a trite motivational speaker. He might say something like this: "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." Or, "What we need is more people who pull themselves up by their bootstraps." But at his moment of adversity, Calvin falls apart. His life is shattered. Everything is lost. And it's over the most trivial of things. Now, we know that Calvin's suffering the loss of a TV is nothing like what the early church was suffering at that time of persecution. But don't tell Calvin that. See, all of this sets us up for a question worth considering. How do we handle adversity? How do we deal with suffering? When the going gets tough, do we just get going? Or do we suffer emotional aneurysms like Calvin? Or worse yet, do we suffer faith aneurysms? I'm sure many of you can relate, just like I can, to your own experiences of suffering and adversity. When you're counseling someone or consoling someone else, it's relatively easy to say, "Well, God works all things for good." Or even more simply, "Trust God," or anything like that. But when we are faced with similar or even more trivial trials, we suffer faith aneurysms that have no place in the life of a child of God. They demonstrate our lack of trust in the one who created us and treasures us over all of creation. See, from what I see here in Acts 8, the early church demonstrated none of these axioms. If anything, their mantra seems to have been something more like this: when the going gets tough, the gospel keeps us going. It kind of goes along the lines of some of those other sayings you've heard. You got to keep on keeping on. And always keep the main thing the main thing. But here it's even more pointed. When the going gets tough, the gospel keeps us going. So consider the events leading right up to this. Put this into context. There are healings galore. The public proclamation of the gospel is taking place with thousands upon thousands of conversions. The works of God are being performed over and over by all of his disciples. The church is on the move. God is being glorified. People are being saved. It's a wondrous time for the church. Even Stephen's witness, his sermon in chapter 7, is an incredible moment in the history of the church. But then comes the blow. Stephen is murdered. Persecution begins. Jesus' followers are scattered. And Saul puts all of his zeal to work. But these short three verses at the beginning of chapter 8 should be seen nothing more than context for the rest of the narrative of Acts, the book of Acts, the entire story. See, don't hear what the author didn't intend to say, as my vicarage supervisor would say. Luke doesn't spend any more time than necessary on these simple facts. He doesn't go into great detail about how the people were concerned about the future of the church. He doesn't say anything at all about any of this. Nor does he give us more than a moment even to dwell in pity over the death of Stephen. Luke suffers no faith aneurysm, nor does he allow his reader to do the same. He quickly moves on to the work that these scattered disciples continued. He says it very clearly in verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And then we hear further. The preaching continues. The miracles continue. And so on. And according to verse 8, there was even much joy in Samaria. When the going got tough, the gospel kept them going. Admittedly, maybe this was in spite of Calvin-like aneurysms that were taking place, but the text doesn't suggest any of that. Luke just simply seems to indicate that God continued to empower his people by filling them with the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work of spreading the gospel to all nations. So what about us? As you fully well know, a large number of us are being scattered here very soon. We won't see each other very much after this. Some of us are going to places that we absolutely love and we are excited. Others, not so much. Some of our families will suffer through this move, through this scattering. Some will thrive. Some of us will encounter congregations that will bring great joy, and others, well, may God and 1,000 angels go with you. But wherever you're headed, for whatever amount of time, never forget this. You are called to preach the gospel in season and out. You are called to be witnesses to the Christ who was killed but then rose again. You are called to proclaim the forgiveness of sins that was won through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And when the going gets tough, it definitely might get tougher. When the going gets tough, you might be persecuted. Maybe by your congregations, maybe by your communities, maybe by your friends and family. When the going gets tough, you might be dishonored, disdained, or disowned. You might even be martyred, even if it doesn't seem likely now. You are not called to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and fight on your own. You have been given the paraclete. You have been given power from on high. You have been forgiven and set free. You are no longer enslaved to trivial concerns that cause emotional or faith aneurysms like with those who have no God. You have been claimed by the Lord of Lords, the God of gods, the King of kings. When the going gets tough, the gospel will keep you going. And it's all for the sake of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, to the glory of the Father. Amen.